Okay, today's daf is daf yud test. So the mission yesterday's daf was talking about if Edom testify that they wrote in a certain shtar, but they said they were anusim or they're ketanim or they're psulei edus. So the mission had said that we trust them because they're the ones the pesha also hem shepesha hitter that they're the one the pesha hitter that they're the ones who permitted the ksab. They also asked the ksab based on their particular statement. The Gemara now says, the last six lines of the Amud here, to Tanya Rabban, they quote a Brisa that it's actually machlokas, whether or not we trust the Edom to disqualify their Edus. The Gemara says, Tanya Rabbanan, ein nemanam il poslo divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, we do not trust the Edom to pasal once they've said that ksav yadenu, even though they said, anusim hayu, akhtanim hayu, aposim hayu, we do not trust them to pasal. The Edus, the shtar is acceptable. Chacham Omer, like we saw in the mission, Ne'manim, we trust them. Once they say Ksav Yadenu, we trust them, Lagave Ksav Yadenu, we also therefore have to trust them, Lagave Ktanim Hayu, Anusim Hayu, and so on. So Gemara says, Bishlama, I understand the Rabbanan, why we trust the Rabbanan, Ki Tamayu, the reason is Shepesh Yasser, who Shepesh Shehitter. They're the ones who ask it, but they're also the ones who permit it. In other words, we only know Ksav Yadenu from their statement, so we have to trust their statement in its entirety. We trust the Lagabe Ksav Yadenu, we trust the Lagabe that they're possible, and then they're Anusim, and they're Kedanim. But that's the Shita Chacham, and that's yesterday's Mishnah. Ve'ela, according to Rabbi Meir, my time. What's the reason Rabbi Meir says? We trust them, Lagabe is their Ksav Yadenu, but we don't trust them that they're possible, or the Kedanim, or the Anusim Ayu. So Gemara explains to Bishma, I understand, even within Rabbi Meir, Sulu edus milva gufe mekara malva gufe mekara midik daik umichtam. So we understand why the edim are not trusted to say we were possible when we signed the edus. We were possible on the shtar. Why? Because when a malva gets together a document that he is lending money and he wants money back, he's going to make sure that the edim that he's using are edim that are acceptable, that holds up in court. He doesn't want to lose the money. So therefore, the very fact that a malva is going to find the right edim, the edim themselves cannot say that they are disqualified, that they are possible. Okay, and then with respect to the ketanim, last line of Amud Beis here, with respect to the ketanim, that the edim were to say that we were ketanim when we signed, Nami also we don't trust the edim to say that they were ketanim. Why? Because Reish Lakish, Dama Reish Lakish, going on to Daf Yud test now, there's a chazaka, there's a certain understanding, there's an assumption, Ein ha-edim chosmin al hashtar, Elim Kena Nasa Begadol. It's understandable that no one's going to let a katan sign on a shtar. So just like a malva will ensure that no poslim, no one puzzle, will sign the shtar, so too, no one's going to let a katan sign on the shtar either. So that's also an incorrect, that's a statement we're not going to accept, that the Edom said we were katanim. However, El Anusim my time. This is understandable. If the Edom say we were Edom, we signed in the shtar, but the malva made us, or whoever, someone made us sign in the shtar, that seems to be an acceptable excuse. Why don't we trust them? My time. And the Gemara says a very, very strange havamina now. The Gemara says, Amr of Chista, Kasavi Rabbi Meir, Meir holds, Edim Sha'amulahem, Edim that were told, Chismu Sheker, you better sign the shtar, otherwise I'll tergeven, this way we won't be killed. Yahargu va yichasmu b'sheker. Better for them to be killed than to sign on the shtar. You should give up your own life than to sign on a shtar b'sheker, which of course is a very strange havamina that the Gemara is going to reject. So since a person signed on the shtar, the Gemara says, must be telling the truth, because nobody would ever sign on the shtar b'sheker. They'd rather be killed than to sign on the shtar b'sheker. So Gemara says, that's a strange understanding. Amale Rava hashta. Ilu asila kaman, had the Edom came to us, lamluche, to ask our thoughts whether they should sign or be killed, arminal huzil chasumo v'lo tiskadulum. We'd say, sign this shtar and save your life. You shouldn't be killed for not signing b'sheker. Sign b'sheker and save your life. Because we have the Amar Mar, ein l'chadavar she'omeid b'fnei pikuach nefesh, nothing stands in the way of saving a person's life. El avodas kochavim v'gilei rayos u'shvichas damim b'vad. These are the only three that a person should give up his life and not violate. But signing a shtar b'sheker is certainly not one of the three. And therefore, if they were to ask us, we say, better to sign the shtar b'sheker than lose your life. So it's possible a person taka did sign the shtar. He possibly was honest. So Gemara says, hashta, continuing on the question, hashta de chasmu, now that they've signed, we're going to say, why'd you sign this shtar? You should have signed this shtar. No, you should have. They did the right thing. They signed the shtar. They saved their life. So anusim seems to be a very acceptable explanation that the Edom said, yes, this is our signature. However, we were anusim. We had a gun holding up to our head. So Gemara says, Ella, time mid Rabbi Meir. The reason why Rabbi Meir holds that Edom who say anusim hayu, we don't trust them to disqualify the shtar is because kid the Rav Huna Amarav. That Rav Huna Amarav, mo de bishtar shekasu, ein tzarech lakayim. In a situation where the Malva says, you owe me money, and this is the shtar, the document that proves it. If the Lova, the borrower, agrees that he owes the money, therefore you don't really need the Edom to really strengthen the shtar. And that's the situation where it's Moda Bashar, where the Lova is Moda, Ein Tzarech Lakaima. And once you don't need to Mekayim the shtar and the Edom, we also don't trust the Edom to say that they were actually Anusim. Just look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says, the last four lines down, the word is Moda. Moda Bashar Shekasu. Lova Shehod Bashar Shekasu. If the Lova, the borrower, agrees that this document was correct, V'al Piv Nechtemo Edom, based on his word, the Edom was signed, we don't have to have the Edom prove themselves. And he goes on to explain that since the Edom are unnecessary in this case, we don't trust them to say that they are anusim. But in general, even Rabbi Meir would agree that the din, that anusim is an acceptable reason to say why the Edom are actually disqualified. Fine. So now the Gemara says, Gufa. We just said above that Gufa Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Mode Bishar Shekasu Ein Tzarech Lakaima. If the Lova agrees that this shtar was written with his consent, you don't have to mekayin the shtar. And Gemara says that very statement, that halacha Amar Le Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says that Ganva Genuve Lamacha. Why are you stealing from us? Why are you tricking us? Isvir Le Krei Meir Aim Halacha Krei Meir. If you hold a Krei Meir, say the halacha is like Krei Meir. But the fact that the Lova is Moda Ein Tzarech Lakaima, that's actually a das yachid. We don't hold it that way. That's Rabbi Meir. So be clear. Don't try to present it like everybody holds this way. That's only Rabbi Meir holds that way. So Amr Leh says back to them, Umar Hechi Svir Leh, how do you hold? What's your psak halacha? Amr Leh, Kiyos Lekaman Ladina, if people were to come to me, and both the Malva and the Lova agree that this shtar was written, Amir Leh, we still say, Zil Kaim Shtar Eicho, please be Mekaim your shtar, V'chotu Ladina. Go to Bezdin and prove that the Edim themselves are acceptable, and they're good, but we don't trust the Malva and Lova alone. You have to have even the Edis be Mekaim as well. Say, look at Rashi. Rashi says here that Kaima Shtar Eicho, Kachani Ragilom, this is what I would tell the Malvin, Hamavin Sharosem Lefanai, if a Malva would bring a document that the Lova owes him money, Vein Edem Imam, the Edom are not with them, and the Omer them, I say to them, Luchu Bikshra De Edechem Kamayu, and go be Makaim the Edis. D Lav Hachi had not been that way. Afal Gav the Mo de Lova, Shakosvi, even though the Lova agrees it was written, Matsil Meimar Parafsiv. He could also say, you're right, I agree it was written, but he goes to say, I paid up already, so we can't trust you to collect from the Lova, because the Lova could always have a way out. If you want to be Mekayim the Shtar, bring the Edom, make sure it's Ksav Yadenu, and then the Edis is acceptable. So now the Gemara says another statement of the Gabi Shtars. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Ha'omer Shtar Amana Huze, Eino Neman. What's Shtar Amana? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi writes, Shtar Amana, Lo Lovaklum. I didn't borrow anything. So the Lova says, you're right, this document's a good document. I handed the document to the Malva, but I never actually owed any money to him. I never borrowed any money. I gave it to him, Shemitzarech Lilova, Lilavos Yiva, that I had the option, if I ever wanted to borrow $1,000, he had the shtar to collect from me. Veheminu, Shelo, and he trusted me. I trusted him. I trusted he wouldn't collect from me unless I actually borrowed money. Shelo Yitvenu, Elam Kein Malvayu. He would only ask me money if I borrowed. If that's the claim of the Lova, we certainly don't trust him. Nobody gives a shtar to a Malva that, in case I borrow from you, you could collect with a shtar. You only write a shtar if there's actually a transfer of money. So that's not a good claim. Shtar Amana, Eino Neman. The Kamar Mind. So the Gemara says, who is the one who's saying that this is a shtar Amana? Who says that this was not really a shtar yet? So Elaim, if you're going to tell me the Kamar Lova, the Lova says, no, I never borrow money. He's holding a shtar Amana. Pshita, of course. We don't trust the Lova. Kol Kamini, does the Lova have the ability to say, I didn't borrow any money? If the Malva holds a shtar that he owed money from the Lova, certainly we don't trust the Lova's claim that it's a shtar Amana. Ella must be the Kamar Malva. The Malva, the lender, says, I never really borrowed money from him. Tavola bracha. It's a very nice thing. Of course we trust him. If he's not going to collect from the loaven, and he says he never borrowed and lent money, of course, that's an obvious point. Of course we would trust him all of it. So Elihu is the one who says that this is a shtar amana. It must be the Kamri Edom. The Edom are the ones saying, we signed on this document, but we were there, and no one had ever transferred money over. There's a shtar amana that in case the lova wanted to borrow money, the option was there, and the malva just held on to the shtar in case the lova were to borrow money. So Gemara says, Ede Kosav Yadam Yotzim Yimakam Acher. If the Ksav Yadam, the Edom, their signatures were proven not from their own testimony, but we had another shtar to match up the documents, so we were able to figure out who the Edis were, who the Edim were. We didn't need their own testimony. Pshita de lo mamne. We don't need you. You can't just say it's shtar mana. So we don't need your Edis that it's your shtar. We have another proof from this. So of course we don't trust the Edim to say it's a shtar mana. If we can prove the signatures, the only way we can prove it is from their own testimony. So once we say that this is Ksav Yadenu, we also must trust them that's also Shtar Mana. So then, why wouldn't we trust the Edom? So it's a bit unclear who is the one making the statement of the Shtar Mana. So Gemara gives three different suggestions. First, Amar Rava. Rava says, Li'olam, in reality, it's the Kamar Lova. The Lova says it's a Shtar Mana. And what's the Chiddush here? If the Lova agrees that this star was, I was as part of this document, I testify that I was there, but then therefore you don't have to become the Edom. In that particular case, since he says he agrees to it and we rely on him agreeing to it, so maybe there's a Havamina, we should trust him also, just like we're trusting him to say the star is a good star, we should also trust him that this is actually a star Amana. That's the Havamina. Kamashlan, even in this case, even though we are relying on the Lova to Makayim the Shtar, once he admits it's a good Shtar, we can't then trust him to say, however, this was a Shtar Amana. That's the first suggestion. Second suggestion is Abai. Abai Amar, who is the one who's claiming it's a Shtar Amana? So Amar, Abai Amar, Liolam Amar Malva. The Malva says that you're right, this is a Shtar, but it's a Shtar Amana. And Kagon Shechav Lachem. It's a situation whereby other people are owed money. I mean, the Malva really should be collecting money from the Lova, and then he has to pay somebody else. If he's mochel on the star, he says not really a good star. Now other people who he owes money to is losing out because he can't pay them. That's a situation whereby we wouldn't trust the Malva. Ukid Rabbi Nassan, the Tani Rabbi Nassan Omer, minayin lenosha b'chaveir man. How do we know if a person is owed money? The chaveir b'chaveir is a Reuven owes a Shimon money. And Shimon owes Levi money, so instead of paying Reuven, paying Shimon, paying Levi, Reuven could go directly and pay Levi and circumvent Shimon. It's just cutting out a step here. So that's what he says. Minayin, how do I know Shemotin Mizeh V'Nosin Lazeh? We could take money out from Reuven and pay Levi to skip Shimon. It's just an extra step. Tamalomer V'Nosin LaAsher Ashem Lo. You give to he whom you owe. So in this case, if Shimon says to Reuven, you know, it's really a shtar amana, we don't trust Shimon, because in essence, it's going to be a loss to Levi, to whom Shimon owes money to. That's the chiddush. We don't trust the Malva in this case. And now comes along Rav Ashi says, no, that's a third explanation. He says it's really the Edim who are claiming it's a shtar amana. And what's the case here? Rav Ashi Amar Li'olam Kamri the Edim. And we don't have any other proof that it's the signatures of the Edom other than their own admission. That what you say, Amai Lo Memne. So why wouldn't you trust them? If the Edom say, this is Ksav Yadenu, but the Shtar Amana, we certainly should have to trust them because we only know it's their Ksav Yadenu from their own testimony. So why don't we trust them if they say it's a Shtar Amana? And the Gemara says, you know why? The Rav Kana. The Rav Kana, it's forbidden for a person to leave in his house a shtar amana. Mishum shenemar, it says in the pasuk that appears in Iyov, al tashkein ba'alecha avla. Don't let an avla remain in your house. Holding on to a shtar amana, that's just it's a terrible thing to have. Why did a person have a shtar amana in case I lend money to someone? You don't play around with shtar amana. So therefore, the Edim who say this, the halacha would be maybe you should trust them because no one should really keep a shtar amana in the house. Kamashlam, we don't trust them to state the shtar amana because no one keeps a shtar amana in their house. And the Gemara then says, top of your testament base, V'yamar Rav Sheshes Breid Rav Idi, Shema Amina, we can learn from here, Midrav Kana, Edim She'amru Amana Hayu Dvarinu, if Edim say that, yeah, we wrote on the shtar, however, this was a shtar amana, Ein Ne'amana, we don't trust them, why not? My time, because we just said above, Kevin de avlahu a avla lo chasmi. Nobody signs in an avla. A shtar money is just a terrible idea to give the malva a document in case you ever borrow money, and therefore it's called an avla. We don't sign an avla. We don't leave avlas in the house there, and therefore we don't trust anybody to say something is a shtar money. So Gemara now says in a similar vein, four lines on the top from the top here. Amar Bishu ben Levi. Asilo li adam she yishesh shtar parua. A person may not leave a document that's been paid off. If the document's been paid off, you shouldn't hold on to it because we don't want you to collect a second time from the person. How do we know? Mishum Shinemar says in the Pasuk in Eov, Al Tashkena Bolecha Avla. So an Avla is anything that could lead to a terrible thing. Collecting money from a person a second time would be not good, and it's a Kashar Perua you can't leave in the house. B'Marav in the West, which is Eretz Yisrael, Mishmei Derav Amri, they would say in the name of Rava, you should distance yourself from an avena, something bad. Zeshtar amana v'shtar pasim. Shtar amana is what we've been saying. Shtar pasim is a person says, could you just write a document that you owe me money? So people think I'm a wealthy guy. I'm lending out money. So just write a document. It's not a true document. I want people to see that. You see, Reuven owes me money. I'm a chashiv guy. I'm a wealthy guy. Could you write me a shtar pasim? So both the shtar amana and shtar pasim is a im oven biyadcha harchikehu. Distance yourself from these types of shtaros. V'yatashkin ba'olecha avla zesh shtar parua. That's a shtar parua paid document. So these are similar types of things. Don't keep these documents that are not really true. They're going to lead to an avla. Don't leave them in the house. And the Gemara says, man da'amar shtar parua, one who says you shouldn't leave a shtar parua in the house, kol shekein shtar amana. Because at least the shtar parua was true. It happened. It was paid now. But a shtar amana, nothing ever happened. So that's, if you don't leave a shtar parua in the house, certainly you shouldn't leave a shtar amana. Man, the Amar Shtar Perua, one who says you shouldn't leave a Shtar Amana in your house, because that's the whole thing is made up, of Al Shtar Perua, maybe you can hold on to a Shtar Perua. Why? Lo. Dezimnin demashele apshite de safer. Sometimes you're waiting for payment back from the sofer. The sofer, the lover, the one who borrows money, is the one who pays for the writing of the document. So although the malva may have received his payment from the lover of the $1,000 he lent him, but maybe he didn't receive the $50 it cost to pay the sofer, so he's still holding on to the shtar perua until the lover finds the extra money to pay for the ksav sofer, so that at least there's some room to allow for one leaving a shtar perua in the house. Gemara now says something similar as well. Itmar, sefer sheina muga, a sefer, and Rashi is a Tanakh, and Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. If any of these are not fixed, if there's a mistake in any of these type of svarim, Amar Rav Am, Rabbi Ami, ad shloshim yom mutil l'shoso, you could leave this in your house or a shul for 30 days, however, mikan ve'elech as l'shoso, but to leave it beyond that, an unfixed sefer Torah, unfixed Nevi'im Ksuvim, that's aser, mishum shenemar al tashkin ba'olecha avla, don't leave an avla in the house. Now the Rush points out, it sounds like from Rashi, only Tanakh, but let's say a person had a Sefer, a Gemara, a Mishnayos, a Rishonim, that you can leave if there are mistakes. And the Rush is no, certainly, Kal v'chomer, you shouldn't leave a Gemara or a Shulchan Aruch with mistakes in it, because that's going to really lead to a Lach L'maisa mistakes here. If it says Asr instead of saying Mutter, to leave that in the house and someone picks it off the shelf, that really leave it to an Avla. So Rashi doesn't mean only Tanakh, he means also Tanakh in addition to that, also and the Sifra Halacha as well, if it will lead perhaps to a mistake. So Gemara now says, Amr Rav Nachman, Edim She'amru Amana Hayudvarenu, Ein Neman. A person claims, Edim claimed that we signed this shtar, however, this is a shtar Amana, we don't trust it like we said above, because no one signs on an Avla. And then it says, but a Moda Hayudvarenu, Ein Neman. A Moda as well, we don't trust him. What's a Moda? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says around seven narrow lines down, Moda Hayudvarenu, Im Shtar Mechahu. It's a shtar Mecha that Reuven sold to Shimon a property. The Edom said, Hachasum, and the Edom were signed, Bo. Hamocher, the Mocher came over to us and told us privately, Maser Hamoda Befenenu, he let us know privately. Beherenu owned, so he told us that he was forced to sell this. Beherenu, we recognized that there was a forced sale. We signed on this way the Lokech doesn't bully him, doesn't pressure him, but he told us off to the side that this was not real a sale, this is a Moda, he let us know the Moda. So that, the Gemara says, Moda, we don't trust the Moda either. Why not? Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Moda ein ne'manim de'lo asa aper umar l'shtar. There's a shtar that says that he sold it. Reuven sold to Shimon. A peh, a verbal statement that the mocher told the Edom is not going to override the validity, the power, the strength of a shtar. That's why we don't trust a shtar mana, nor do we trust a Moda. Gemara then quotes, however, Mar Barav Ashi Amar, Amana Huyu Dvarenu, Ein Nemanim. If they say we sign the Shar Amana, that we don't trust, nobody's going to sign on a Avla. However, if there's a Moda Huyu Dvarenu, if they say we did sign on the Shar of the Mecher, however, the Mocha told us he was forced to sell it, there we would Nemanim, we would actually trust him, says Mar Barav Ashi. My time, what's the reason? Hai Nitain Likaseva, Hai Lo Nitain Likaseva. A shtar mana should never be written. No one should ever write a shtar mana. However, a moda can be written. It should be written. And therefore, even if it wasn't written, it has the strength of a ksav and can override a actual shtar. Look at Rashi. In mine, it's actually not bold. It's at the two dots. It's right after the words ein nemanim. There says Rashi, moda, nitein the edim lichtov as a shtar. The edim should write the shtar. In order to save the guy from being killed. We don't want the guy to be killed, so therefore it's right. I think it's actually going not in the moda, but in the shtar. The shtar should have written to sell the property just to save the mocha. That makes sense. So the moda can override the shtar because the shtar itself is right to be written. However, the amana lo nitin li kaseva, the avla havi. No one should ever write a shtar amana. It's a terrible thing. V'chi amru chasam, if they say we signed on a shtar amana, Mashrilin of Shayu Rishom, they're now making themselves into a Rishayim. V'ein Adam Neman Losam Asma Rasha. Person is not trusted to make himself into Rasha. So once they say that we signed the Sharmana, we don't trust him the Gabe Sharmana, because that in essence is calling out their Rishas. Gemara then says, similar, along the same lines of the Shtar topic here, Bay Mine Rava Mirav Nachman. Tanai Hayud Varenu Mahu. So what if they say, yes, we signed on a shtar, however, there was also a tenai that they never fulfilled. Look at Rashi. Tenai hayudvarenu. Al tenai machulo. We saw that Reuven sold Shimon, but it was a hinging on a tenai that had to be fulfilled, a certain stipulation. Sheyaselo kach v'kach, he had to do something, whatever that something was. V'lo ra'inu shekayim lo tenai. We never saw the kayim fulfilled. So let's say Reuven says, I'll sell to Shimon. So long as Shimon, you go on, I don't know, the roller coaster, let's say. So we never saw him go on the roller coaster. So they never fulfilled the shtar. So that's not a good sale. Would we trust them to say that there was a tanai that wasn't fulfilled? So Gemara says, "By minei again, Rav Avi Rav Nachman, tanai hayu dvarenu. Yes, we sold the we signed the shtar, but it was based on a particular stipulation. Mahu? What do we say? Moda v'amanu hayinu taima dekaakri lei l'shara haynami kaakri l'shara. The reason why we don't trust a moda. We don't trust a shtar mana because that is uprooting a shtar that's been written. We can't uproot a shtar. And this as well, by saying that there's a tanai that also uproots the shtar, and we don't trust them, legabe the tanai. Oduma, perhaps we can make a distinction between a tanai versus a moda and a mana. Because Dilma, perhaps tanai is milsa acharisi. A shtar mana, a shtar and a moda, those are built into the shtar itself. That was intrinsic to the shtar, and that's disqualifying the shtar directly. Here, they're admitting there's a good shtar, but there's also something separate, a tanai, that's not directly attacking the shtar, and maybe we should trust the Edom to say that there's this independent tanai that it was dependent on. So Amarlei, kios lekam ladina, if they were to come to us in the Din Torah, Amrin Lei, we would say, Zil Kaima Tanaichu, V'chos Ladina. Go fulfill the Tanai, and you have to go ahead and fulfill it. It has to be fulfilled in order for a person to accept it, meaning we trust them, Legabe the Tanai. We would trust them. The Tanai does work. So now the Gemara says, Eid Omer Tanai, Veid Omer Einatai. One Eid says that there is a Tanai, and one Eid says there is no Tanai. So who do we trust here? So Amr Papa says, Tervayu, both of them hold. They both agreeing that this is a good shtar. That much they agree. They just question whether there is also a tanai. But the shtar is a good shtar. Now the one aid who says, yes, I agree it's a good shtar, but there is also a tanai attached to it. He's only one person now. Now it's one person against two, even though one of them is himself, but one against two. The shtar has two aidim, and the fact that there's a need for a tanai is only one aid. V'ein dvarv shel echad b'makum shnayim. One aid cannot uproot the validity of two aidim on the shtar. So Gemara says, wait a second. Maskelar Rav Huna, braid of Yeshua, ihachi afilu tarayu nami. If that's the case, even if two aidim say that they require a tanai, that also does not have the strength to uproot a shtar. That won't work either. Why not? If you look at Rashi around six or seven narrow lines up, even if both people say tanai havu dvarenu, lo lisamanu, we shouldn't believe them either, because the chayven sheheidu aksav yadan, once they testify that they signed in the shtar, Kaimu Ashtar, the Shtar is not Mukuyam, and Kemoshu Kasav, however it's written, it's a good Shtar, stamped approval. V'chi Amru Tanai, now when they say afterwards, yes, but there was a Tanai there, Hayidurenu, Havlu Magidim V'chos Magidim, that's giving a testimony, that's almost retracting on the testimony, and a person cannot retract on the testimony, so whether it's one or two Eidim who say that there's a Tanai, they shouldn't have the right to undo the validity of the Shtar initially. Ella, what do we say? Arminan Hanu Lemekar Sadusayu Kasu, that when they say there's a Tanai built into the Shtar, that's in essence uprooting the validity of the Shtar, just like the case of Amana and Moda, just like by Amana and Shtar, Amana and Moda, we consider that uprooting the Shtar, and we don't trust them. Hainami here as well, by saying that there's a Tanai, it's Lemekar Sadusayu Kasu, they're trying to uproot the validity of the Shtar, and we don't trust them to say that there's a Tanai. Hilch Sabaman Hadri Paskim, the Lach is Kravhuna, Braid of Yeshua. The guy, but which particular halacha? What did he say? He's the one who said, what was this halacha he said again? This is the, I remember the names here. Let's see. He's the one who said that Eid Echad is, he says actually Eid Echad is believed that it's a Tanai Hayu, and we don't say the Shtar is Mekuyam. So I don't know where we saw him earlier, but that's his, that was the line he said, right before he said, he said that, that the name of Yeshua, that even two people wouldn't be trusted. That line. Okay, fine. Now the Gemara says, Tani Rabbanan. And this we're going to just quote the Braisa. We'll stop in the middle because the Gemara goes to the next staff, into the Suga, but at least we'll start the Braisa here, the Tani Rabbanan. Shnaim Chasumim al Ashtar. Two people are assigned in a document. Umesu, they both die. Ubo Shnaim min Ashuk. Two people from the Shuk say, Amru, Yadanu Shuksav Yadamu. We know those two people who died. Reuven and Shimon are dead now, but we know their signature. That's their signature. Avanusim hayu, kitanim hayu, sulaidus hayu. They signed it, but we know at the time they were children, or they were apostle, or they were forced to sell or sign. Alright, elun emanim. We trust the two people from the shuk because the only way we know that they're their signatures is based on them. So we have to accept their entire statement. However, im yesh edim shiksav yadam hu ze, if we have other edim that say that they recognize these signatures, o sheyuksav yadam yosim yimakam acher, or we're able to match their signatures up with a different star of the same signatures that Bezdin already proved once before, Mimakam Acher, Mishtar from a different star, Shikar Lav Ir, that someone else had protested, and Huchsuk Bezdin, Bezdin end up approving that star, so able to match up different signatures. I mean, we don't need these two people from the Shuk to say the signature. Then Ein Elo Nemanim, we don't trust the two people from the Shuk to say that Anusim Hayu, Ketanim Hayu, and so on. And Magbidim Bebek Bishar Ba'aya, we would trust that the signatures, and it's a good star, and they could go ahead and collect on the star. That's the Brisa. Now the Gemara says, we'll leave off with this question, Va'amai Treyu Treinin. Why? There are two people saying that the goodness signature, and they're good people. And other two people are saying that they were Anusim Hayu. So it shouldn't be two against two, whether we trust the Edim or don't trust the Edim. Why are we ignoring the second set of Edim that say they were Ketanim Hayu, Anusim Hayu, Psu Edis Hayu? And the Gemara answers, I'm not going to explain this, but Gemara just simply says, Amar Va'asheshes, Zos Ameris, Hachashat Chias Hazamahi. When it comes to a contradiction, that's the beginning process of a Hazama. And the Gemara into tomorrow's daf will go on to explain what exactly that means. Okay, we will stop here. Everybody have a wonderful day.